Hello again, and welcome to the Price Street Film Club. No, this is not an emergency. No, you do not need to adjust your dial. Yes, you are actually listening to an entirely new episode of the Price Street Film Club, episode 3.7. When there's something strange in your neighborhood, what are you going to watch? The Price Street Film Club. Anyway, I'm Eric Clausen here with my co-host, as always, the wonderful and fabulous Mr. Adam Tucker.
You know, I would make fun of you if that's saying, like, to watch a podcast, but you know you can actually watch a podcast. Like, you could watch us on Apple TV, just a picture of our logo.
That's true, and yeah, if we ever got around to getting video equipment, you could watch us talking at our computers.
You probably are better off just listening to us, I think.
That's right. We truly do have a face for radio.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. I'm surprised you found us in the annals of podcast shamedom. I'm sure we were probably down at the bottom of the list, like with the Britney Spears Educational Moment podcast. But since you did find us, welcome. Take a seat. Put your feet up. Relax. We have what we like to call a nice little three-act structure with this podcast, where we do a section we like to call 10 movies in 5 minutes, where Mr. Tucker and I run down quick shot some of the movies that we've recently seen with a little brief discussion and wrap-up. Then we'll move on to our feature, which this week we're going to talk about hate-busting. Hate-busting on the Ghostbusters, because we're hate-busting on the Busters. Busted.
Nice. And, well played.
Yeah. And then finally, we're going to finish up with the trailer park, where we go down, we talk about things that we've seen recently, trailers, judge books totally by their covers. But, you know, that's all later. Let's move into 10 movies in 5 minutes.
All right, let's roll, my friend.
Let's roll it. So, it's been a while. Would you like to go first, or would you like me to have the honors this week?
You know what? You
or
are
this episode.
This week.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You know what? You're on a roll, my friend, so why don't you take it?
All right. The first movie I'm going to be talking about is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
And go.
You know, this movie was a lot of fun. I cannot say it's a good movie by the definition of a good movie with decent plot and characters and realistic themes, but this movie was a lot of fun. It is waxing nostalgic for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fans. It brings back Bebop and Rocksteady and the big Krang robot with the big Krang brain in the stomach, and it's just a lot of fun. It takes, you know, the first one was kind of okay. This one just kind of goes for it, just goes all out, throws it all out there, and just has...
That's all right. That's all right.
All right. So, let's see. What is your number one, Mr. Thompson?
I'm going to go with Captain America Civil War.
All right. And go.
All right. I was really looking forward to this, being a huge fan of the Civil War book. Obviously, you know, it has its own life being, you know, part of the cinematic universe, not the comic universe, but it didn't hurt it in the least. I think this is the most successful Marvel film that there has been yet. It hit the tone right, you know, the right amount of humor and the right amount of, you know, seriousness. Every character got the justice, you know, their dues. I think it was fantastic.
Stop.
Goes so fast.
It does. Man. Seems like forever when you're timing it, but when you're actually talking, you're like, my God, was that it?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. All right, man, what's your second film?
All right, my second film is one that I'd never heard of until my wife rented it from the Redbox, a movie called Mr. Right.
All right. And go.
I wasn't sure really what to expect from this movie just because it was a Redbox movie I'd never heard of, but it had... Sam, and I'm going to get the wrong Sam. I'm going to say Sam Waterston, but I believe it's the guy from Moon. And he plays a hitman who's just insane. And the movie is about an insane relationship he has with a girl. And it's just, it really is fun. It's fabulous. It's high energy. It's really a good time to watch. It even has the RZA in it for you gangsta folks. But
stop. Sam Rockwell.
Thank you. Waterston.
Sam Waterston is McCoy on Law and Order.
I will never get the Sams right.
You were a little off. Yeah. You wanted to say Sam Worthington, and then is that the Terminator guy?
Yeah, I think that's okay. Who I was going for.
Man,
yeah.
So many Sams.
So little time.
Sam. Sorry. I was way out there. Sorry.
So what is your number two, Mr. Tucker, right, sir?
My number two, this is one that's actually been out for a long time, but I just got around to seeing it. It is a horror movie called The Conjuring.
All right, and go.
I love horror movies, and I don't like the current trend right now of like either the found footage horror movies or the torture porn horror movies or the PG-13 horror movies. So I actually bought The Conjuring like 3 years ago, just never watched it. Sequel's coming out, or is out. I decided to watch it. I have not been so scared of a movie in such a long time. I actually couldn't go to sleep. It was a creepy,
stop,
awesome. Really?
Yeah, really.
I had more from that.
Really? I couldn't tell.
All right. What's your third movie?
My number three is the Angry Birds movie.
Ah, all right. And go.
All right. So you'll hear when I get to my next one. I've actually seen two video game movies for this podcast, but this one I would consider the good one. It was funny. The story was actually, if you look beyond symbolism, sort of poignant to news today. But the story was about Red, who doesn't like pigs invading, and they eventually just shoot themselves at the houses. The video game is simple. The movie itself was a little more complicated, but also a lot of fun. Like, there were a lot of good jokes in there, a lot of good references. The animation was bright.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. What is your number three?
All right. I'm going to go with X-Men Apocalypse.
All right. And go.
All right. I'm a huge fan of the new X-Men movies. First Class was fantastic. Days of Future Past, not as good, but still quite a good movie. X-Men Apocalypse is... It does everything okay. But, like, it's just real by the books. And unfortunately, with the bar set so high with the previous two films, you can't do something by the books. And with all superhero movies being as good as they are nowadays, you can't throw an X.
Stop.
I am way out of practice.
I know.
This is hard. Ugh. All right, going to number four.
Number four. My number four is Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, all right. And go.
What a piece of crap cash-in movie this was. We went to see it because my wife didn't want to see The Jungle Book. So we're like, okay, well, there's another kids movie. Let's go see Ratchet and Clank. This was like, it was like they took all the cutscenes and put them together, but they weren't really relevant. The characters weren't interesting. The whole movie felt flat. I'm sure even if you saw it in 3D, it would still feel flat. The characters were uninteresting. The story was droll. Like, it was painful to make it through. Like, even the jokes fell flat. All right, what is your number four, Mr. Tucker?
Well, oddly enough, my number four is going to be The Jungle Book.
All right. And go.
All right, I was fortunate enough to see this in IMAX 3D. This was an unbelievably wonderful movie. A great update of what I already thought was a great animated movie. But just the effects are beyond amazing. The story is actually very good. The voiceover are fantastic. They find a really cool way to integrate the songs. It just is a real whimsical, fun time at the movies, and my kid just loved it. Got it!
Yeah. Well, let's just say, after saying Ratchet and Clank, me hee hee, I want to be like you.
Oh, my. Wow. That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad.
So,
All right. We're at the infamous
Redbox Pick of the Week. Like I said, there have been plenty of Redbox movies that I've watched that have been... Well, I'm actually going. The movie is Exposed.
Wait, with an X?
Exposed.
Oh, so it's not like witty. It's not like
Exposed. Which would seem like it would be on Cinemax. No, Exposed.
Okay. All right, Exposed.
Okay.
And go.
Who says Keanu Reeves can't make a good movie after John Wick? I do. This movie is god awful. It is slow. Like the movie tries to tell an interesting narrative, and when it starts to introduce these bizarre characters, you start to think maybe there's like they're adding some sort of cool supernatural element to this movie, or maybe they're adding a different layer that I wasn't expecting. No. Let's at the end, we're just going to explain it all to you in gut-wrenching detail. Keanu Reeves puts in a blasé, awful Keanu Reeves performance.
I lost track of time there. You actually got 4 seconds extra.
Yeah.
So congratulations. Sorry, I effed that up.
Yeah, no problem.
Whoops.
So what is your number five? Your streaming pile, as it were.
Well, all right. So, yeah, I know it's supposed to be a streaming pile, but I actually did see this one in the theater, so it's technically not streaming. It's a movie called Miles Ahead.
All right, and go.
Okay, I'm going to say, for the record, this is not a horrible movie, but it is a horribly misguided movie. It looks like, on the surface, a biopic of Miles Davis, famous jazz trumpet player. But what it is, it's actually a fictional telling of what Miles Davis did for the 5 years he was gone from 75 to 80 and when he came back. And it involves the mob, shootouts, and lots of drugs. And I don't get it. I don't understand why they went this route. And then there's a completely fictional character played by Ewan McGregor.
I guess you had more to say on that.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay.
That was all. You got me. So. Yeah, man. All right. We are going back, and you started with...
Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
All right, I am going to have to see this, but
okay.
I did not see it yet.
All right, you saw the first one, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, and the first one was all right. You know, it was the reboot they did on the Nickelodeon with the cartoon and everything like that was not bad. Like the computer cartoon show.
I love that cartoon.
It's good. And then when they put out the movie, it was kind of like, all right. But this one, like I said, they went for it. They brought in Bebop and Rocksteady, who absolutely just steal the scene whenever they're in it. They're so much fun. The tone of the movie is a lot lighter.
That's good.
Like everybody seems to be having a lot more fun with it. They brought in like Casey Jones and the big like I said, it's the big stupid Krang robot.
Stupid Krang robot. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot more fun. I thought it was great. It is definitely a popcorn cruncher. Not great movie by any stretch of the words, but a lot of fun to watch.
I would hope people don't go into it expecting a great movie.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, come on.
I think one of the best reviews I read is they went out to make a big, loud, stupid movie and they succeeded.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Cool. So.
No, I'm going to. I know I have to see it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You'll like it.
Cool. All right, so I'm pretty sure you saw Civil War. Yes.
Yes. Yes, I did. That was
all right. Like they just hit it out of the park. Like there, I don't. I mean, are you in agreement? Like, have there? Do you think there's been a better superhero movie?
No, they went away from their particular like they have a Marvel formula that they usually do for the first movies that you can start to see the seams of it as they make more of them. Like when Ant-Man came out, you could kind of see the seams of the formula they use.
Yeah, yeah.
This one told a great story. It was like the way that they didn't make really good or evil. They just everything was blurred lines.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really a somebody's right, somebody's wrong type situation.
I think it's just so good, and you know the fact of the matter, like I don't know, like, kind of spoiler alert, like it ends unresolved.
It does,
you know, and we don't know where they're going to go from here. It doesn't wrap up in a pretty little package. So, like, what's next?
And,
you know, and don't. I don't want anybody being a smartass and telling me Doctor Strange is next. I know that's next, but like,
really,
where are we going now? And it's exciting to think about,
right?
Where we can go now.
When they usually do a big one, they usually breaks. Like the last time they did a Captain America movie, they totally broke S.H.I.E.L.D. entirely.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
and this one, like I said, they actually break apart the Avengers. And even the big bad guy is not really that, like, he's not like an evil, evil guy. He's just a guy who's just angry.
Yeah. Like, and it was an interesting choice, but I mean, you know, Marvel, I think we can all agree they have this problem. Like, there's no good villain except Loki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're still, unfortunately, on that. But I don't think Zemo was supposed to be that kind of villain.
No, he was more of a catalyst to keep the plot moving. And
right, and that's fine, because the plot revolves around their conflict, not, you know, not the bad guy.
Right.
You know, and I loved, and I, it's so hard for a movie to give every character their just dues, and not even to mention they had to introduce two new ones.
Right, they had to introduce Black Panther,
who was awesome. Awesome.
And they had to introduce the unequivocally probably best iteration I've ever seen of this Spider-Man in this
movie. Like, yeah, just the way that kid talked, the fact that he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fantastic. We can gush over forever, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's like most people in the world have seen this movie by now.
Right.
And I'm actually very excited to say, now that my son's out of school, I'm taking him to see it tomorrow. Ah! So I get to go see it again.
Well, see, that's awesome. And like I said, yes. I mean, it was just, it was so good, and it did everything so right. And like I said, yeah. I mean, I'm pumped for the new Spider-Man movie. Yeah. The only thing that was weird was seeing kind of a hot Aunt May.
You know what, man? I got a thing for Marissa Tomei. And hi, Aunt May. How you doing?
I was just like, that's it. Okay. All right.
I think I had the same reaction. I'm like, that's Aunt May. All right. Let's go with that. But that's Aunt May.
The whole scene where everybody's fighting and like Ant-Man just does his thing and just.
Ugh. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Let's stop.
I got to stop. Okay.
All right, man. What was your second movie?
Well, I'd hate to follow that up. And now following that up, Burt Wonderstone. No, Mr. Right was my second movie.
You know, I heard this is with Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard some people say, eh.
You don't expect anything usually from movies that are, well, usually straight to video. And this one, I don't think touched the theater. If it did, it was an extremely limited release and nobody ever heard of it. But you know, Anna Kendrick plays kind of a good, kind of ditzy, stupid girl in this movie. And, like, she's out of a relationship, but she's kind of a nutcase herself. And she comes into a relationship with Sam Rockwell, who is a hitman, who is also an absolutely insane person. And just the relationship kind of works. And the whole movie just kind of, like, it doesn't take itself too seriously. And it's like I said, it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll, if I, you know, can get my hands on it, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Like I like Sam Rockwell a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, he did his thing and he was like just all over the place, crazy and fun. And I loved it.
All right, man. Well, that's a nice, you know, under the radar title there. It's cool.
Yeah. So let's see. What was your number two?
The Conjuring.
Oh, I did see this. And you're right. It is a freaky, scary movie.
Oh, my God. Like, I love the fact that it's rated R just because it's too scary to give it PG-13.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good sign, man.
Yeah. Now don't – I'm going to warn you. Don't, on the strength of this movie, go and watch Annabelle thinking it's going to be the same thing.
Okay. I do want to see Annabelle. Should I not?
Annabelle is a huge letdown after Conjuring. I'm just going to – The Conjuring is fantastic. Yeah. Annabelle – like, the Annabelle part of The Conjuring is really well done. But the actual Annabelle movie, not so much.
Okay, all right. You know, the great thing about this movie is, like, it was a nice slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job with that slow burn. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, you know what? Movies like this, the payoff is totally not going to be worth it. Man, I was totally wrong.
Yeah, and it was based in enough reality that it made it even scarier, too.
That's the scary part, because the fact that, like, Ed and Lorraine Warren, like, they're real people, and they really did this. So, you know, it's cool, and I just decided to watch it because the new one's coming out, and the new one came out, and now I kind of want to go see the new one.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the first Conjuring, really good. It was one of the better horror movies I've seen in a while.
Yeah, man. Probably the scariest horror movie of the 2010s. And there's another one I saw. I didn't talk about. It's called The Witch.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real under the radar. It came out in like January, February.
Right.
I really highly recommend that movie.
One of my friends who is really into horror movies recommended that one as well.
It is really good. And I'm going to tell you, I'm one of those, remember we had It Follows, and I did not like It Follows.
Right.
I love this, and it's all about atmosphere and setting the tone. This thing freaked me out. So I recommend, obviously, The Conjuring and also The Witch.
Okay, well, I'll have to check out The Witch. I've seen The Conjuring.
Yeah, man, The Witch is great. So, all right, what was your third movie?
Angry Birds.
Yeah, I saw this. I do not share your
enthusiasm.
Your happy feelings for it. No, I did not think this was good at all, actually.
I will say that I came off of Ratchet and Clank, and then the next movie I saw after that in the theater was Angry Birds. So Ratchet and Clank set such a low bar that Angry Birds seemed like poetry in comparison. Mm. But like I said, I mean, as far as a video game movie goes, and for one that's based on an app where you're just flinging birds at structures with a slingshot, it really did its best to flesh out a story. When Red was angry and being pissed off at the world, like he's supposed to be, I found the movie to be kind of enjoyable and laughed. There were enough laughs in it to keep me going, and like there was enough in it to interest me enough that I enjoyed it as a whole.
All right, I'll tell you what I did like. I liked the first 10 minutes when he showed up at the house with the cake.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I'm like, if they can keep this style of humor for the whole movie, it'd be great. But they didn't. They decided to bring Josh Gad in and just ruin everything like he usually does. you know, he was totally annoying. I thought I was very inspired to cast Sean Penn as a grunting bird.
Yep.
I thought that cracked me. That was really funny.
It was kind of like casting George Clooney as Sparky the dog in South Park.
In the South Park movie, right. but I just thought it was a total mess of a movie. It had no focus. It so wanted to get to the part, like, watch us shoot the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And then by that point, I'm like, I don't give a crap anymore. This is done.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was an unfocused mess. And well, you know, my kids loved it, but what a mess.
My kids loved it as well. And as far as a lot of the other kids' movies I've seen, this one was better than some of the other fare I've seen. So I'm going to give it better than average. But I know that you are below sea level on that one.
Yes, I was. Yes.
Yeah. So what was your number three?
My third movie was X-Men Apocalypse.
All right. Now, I have not seen this yet. I've seen every other X-Men movie, including Origins Wolverine, which is best not talked about. I did see X-Men Origins Wolverine without the digital special effects put in, which made it a lot better.
Oh, you saw the bootleg.
Yeah, I saw the bootleg.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I have not seen Apocalypse. I have not heard stunning reviews of Apocalypse. Now,
here's the deal. Everything that you think happens in Apocalypse happens. You know what happens.
Right.
Like you could tell me the plot of the movie right now.
Yep.
You could.
Yeah, I could.
Go for it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
They find Apocalypse. Apocalypse recruits the Four Horsemen, including pulling Magneto over to the dark side. Incapacitates Professor X. The young X-Men, and it looks like, because they want to show that, I don't know why they're trying to desperately retcon Mystique, except because they are. She takes control of the X-Men, who are untrained, and they manage to overcome Apocalypse, and eventually, does Magneto come back over to the good side?
Yeah.
Do all the Four Horsemen actually turn against him at the end?
No, Magneto and Storm do. Angel gets killed.
Okay.
And Psylocke, who was the biggest waste of space, just walks away.
Olivia Munn.
Yeah, well, I mean, not like she can act anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pretty much got it.
Yeah, like I said, I bet there was a scene where Quicksilver ran fast.
You're right, and I'm like, that scene was comparable to the Quicksilver scene from the previous movie. And the problem is, like, that was the only inspired fun part of that entire movie. And that's not how it should be.
And the rest of it was kind of a dull drug.
Yeah, it's just like the kid that played Nightcrawler was cool.
Okay.
Michael Fassbender is awesome.
Yep.
He was kind of wasted. And, you know, and yeah, like, what was the one I heard? I heard of so many things like Apocalypse looks like Yeah. And some of them are so good. I heard, like, you know, Ivan Ooze, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
There was one I just heard that was so good, and I can't remember what it was. And, I applaud the filmmakers for trying to do practical makeup instead of sticking them in CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was not menacing in the least.
Right.
You know, it kind of looked like they were being threatened by a purple box. And I'm like, I'm not that scared of a purple box. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just gave a good plot synopsis. And
yeah, from not seeing the movie. Well, like I said, I mean, the Quicksilver scene was fun in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
But the only thing that you have to think about is if they took Quicksilver with them instead of leaving him at home, he really could have probably solved the whole problem and would have probably made the movie about, you know, an hour and a half shorter.
Exactly, and they do take him this time.
Oh, well, that's good.
Maybe we should take him. Oh, I guess we should, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other issue that some people brought up, nobody's aging.
Yeah.
Like, this movie takes place 20 years after First Class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I going to look that good when I'm 45 years old?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I hope so, man. Like, that's...
Well, that's because if they needed to, they'd have to almost recast at this point. Because right now, like I said, they still look like First Class.
Yeah.
I mean,
if they're going to recast it, you know who they should recast as Professor X? Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick
Stewart. Sorry. You knew where I was going with that. But it's not.
But yeah, for that many years in the future, yeah, I mean, they like, I could understand Mystique not really aging so much.
Oh, yeah, they explain that.
Right. Now, did they actually bring in a new Wolverine? Because I know in the commercial they tease Claws, and I'm like, oh, God, did they actually bring in Wolverine in this, or just...
Yep.
Okay.
And it was, honestly, his inclusion in the movie was filling plot holes. That's it.
Oh.
That's it, man.
Wow. And
listen, this scene was cool, but he is filling plot holes.
Okay.
That's it.
They're trying to desperately fill the huge gaping holes in the storyline that they keep cutting.
Yeah, because they got to do the new Wolverine movie, so I'm assuming they're going to follow this storyline now. Yeah. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, since they had to really
they rebooted figure out a way to, everything,
the retcon Deadpool into a better movie too.
I really wish Deadpool would have showed up. That would have made it just worth it.
I forgot. We didn't talk about that. Deadpool's an awesome movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, hey, Deadpool, awesome. Yeah, yep. That actually just gets better the more you watch it.
So, yeah, shout out to Deadpool. All right, anyway, it's on video. Rent it. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so moving on, I think my number four is Ratchet and Clank. Did you see and Clank?
You know, I was close to seeing it, but I did not see it.
All right, now, I will say I don't have any real history, because I never really owned a PlayStation, except the original PlayStation. And okay. I never really played a Ratchet and Clank game. I mean, if they had made a Blasto movie, I would have been all over it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting that one, man.
Yeah, the one movie, who did the voice for that?
Phil Hartman.
That's right. Anyway, besides that, like, so I didn't really have any basis in the character, so I'm thinking, okay, well, at least this can pull me in. They've made a bazillion of these games. The characters must be at least interesting enough to carry it a little bit. No,
that's a shame.
Like,
that's a real shame.
Did you see Monsters vs. Aliens, the movie?
I did.
Do you remember how flat that movie felt?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Okay, all right. See, the problem I have is, like, I have played all the Ratchet and Clank games,
mm-hmm.
and I got the new one, which is what the movie and the new game are, like, based off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the games are so much fun.
But, yeah.
Like, a lot of people said what you said. It's like they took cutscenes and just slammed them together with no context.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
It was boring. It was really boring. Like I said, it felt like they put a lot of effort into animating something that fell so flat. Like I said, it honestly felt like Monsters vs. Aliens to me. That's flat.
You know, they got to stop giving this director movies,
because
he poops on everything he touches.
Yeah,
he did the Astro Boy movie.
I've heard bad things. I never actually watched that.
He did the animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
TMNT?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was
bad. I was okay. I was okay with that, but most critics panned
Yeah.
And now he did this.
Yeah, this was not good.
you should try something else, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you and M. Night Shyamalan could coordinate on something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. M. Night's on his way back because he did the visit.
Okay.
He's showrunning Wayward Pines. He's on his way back.
Okay, I haven't seen either of those things yet, but the visit's on Cinemax, so I think I'll give it a watch.
It's so good.
All right. Your number four was
The Jungle Book.
Jungle Book. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. My wife and she did not want to see this movie because she did not really like the Jungle Book cartoon growing up. So
okay. All right.
So
all
she
right.
had no it's a real. And, point. Like I said, Jungle Book was never one of my favorites. You know, mm-hmm. the songs are catchy, but okay. you know, then I read mm-hmm. that the movie itself was getting fantastic reviews, oh, yeah. and that John Favreau did an amazing job with the direction.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I was excited to see it, but by that point, it was a poison well. So, there was no way I was going to get to see it and not get grief for seeing it, even if it was the best movie in the world. So, at that point, I was just like, you know what? I'll wait for it to come out in video and watch it.
Got it. Yeah, it was honestly one of the strongest movies of the year, man. It hit every note right on. Great. Just everything about it was just awesome. Like, I was, like jaw to the ground for most of this movie. You've never seen effects like this before.
I'll have to check it out.
It is really good. It's so good. And I'm gushing about it, but I mean, like, it's so good. And it's funny you say that she didn't like the cartoon. My girlfriend also did not like the cartoon growing up and had no desire to see it, but took all her kids to see it. And she's like, that was fantastic. She's yeah. like, so much better than the cartoon. So, and the cartoon, honestly, it's very slight. There's nothing sticking about that movie. There's no danger in that movie. It's just,
yeah.
But this movie is, it's such a good adaptation. So, yeah, recommended.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out when it comes out on video.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, so my Redbox pick was Exposed. I don't know if you've seen this. If you're a big,
I've never even heard of it.
Avid fan, follower of Keanu Reeves' career.
No, I did see the movie Keanu though.
Any good? Yeah, good. Yes or no?
Oh yeah, it was great. Okay. Very funny. Very funny.
All right, now I actually would have almost wanted to see the remake of Point Break than Exposed. Or the infamous Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, I think I gotta watch that.
I'm about halfway through it, and he's so not acting in that movie. It's
okay.
Sorry, I'm talking about Exposed. Right. Yeah, Keanu Reeves. Speaking of not acting, Keanu Reeves is not acting in this movie either. He's in it. But like, so it's the movie starts off with this girl, and she's in a subway, and she like drops her ring and breaks her heel, and you know, some homeless guy walks by her, and then she sees a guy levitate, like an albino guy levitate onto a train, and I'm thinking, is this some sort of cool, like, paranormal type movie? And then she starts seeing these weird visions, and then it starts telling the story of this murder in the background, and Keanu Reeves' partner was a cop who was murdered, but he was a dirty cop, and it just goes off the rails to explain that, nope, she's just hallucinating because she's trying to cover up that she was raped in the beginning of the movie, but we didn't tell you that. The end. Yeah.
What?
Yep. She was raped by the dirty cop and kills him. That's why. So she was the actual killer in the movie, but she was imagining all these other things. And the movie's awful. It's stupid.
What the?
Yep. But it had a, not Marissa Tomei.
Sam Rockwell?
No. It had Romy in it.
You mean, oh my God.
Yeah, her.
My God.
Oh man, hold on.
Mira Sorvino.
Mira Sorvino, that's it. Yes, it had Mira Sorvino on it.
That hurts so bad.
I was just like, it's Romy. Romy White?
Posted. Oh, that's a great movie. Yeah. Anyway.
Not so much.
I was going to say, you know what else isn't a great movie? Miles Ahead.
Yeah, I heard you describing this. Why would you not just go and do a Miles? Like, Miles' bio is interesting enough that you could, and his music is good enough that you could, yeah. You could slapdash even a painted coat of a bio on it just to show off his music like they did with Ray. But why would you do this? Why would you make up a story?
It was interesting. Like, I know they were going for the less, you know, strict biopic. But the thing was, like, with all this stupid idiocy that was happening, they decided to flash back and show, like, his failed marriage and da-da-da-da-da, and what led him to start taking drugs, and, you know. And unfortunately, like, peppered in were some really great music scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And the end sequence was totally cool because it was him. He came back in 1980 with Fusion. Okay. And that's really like what re-kickstarted his whole career. So the end was actually him playing this tune from 1980. And it was supposed to be Miles in 1980, but it was like, it was Don Cheadle, who played Miles Davis, doing like this really good fake trumpet playing. But he was playing it with like this real band, including Herbie Hancock.
Wow.
On keyboard, and Wayne Shorter playing the saxophone. I was like, this is awesome. That was the end credits.
You could do a whole movie just pretty much with his story and just his music and like the stuff that he amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, you know, you want to make a biopic out of somebody that's flawed, and Miles was flawed because he was a dick.
Yeah.
And like everybody that worked with Miles Davis said he was a dick. So like, there you go. That's your movie right there.
He's a dick.
And they showed that throughout the movie, that he was a dick,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they had little things thrown in for fans that were great. There was, like, this stoner sitting on the bed, and this other guy's just like, everybody knows you, Miles. Like, hey, you, to the stoner on the bed, what's your favorite Miles Davis song? And she's like, I like the one that goes, dang it. I'm like, yeah, that's so what? That's adorable. Like, I picked up on that because, you know, I'm a jazz player.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool they had those little things peppered in, but then at the same time, they have a shootout holding a reel-to-reel player. I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
So... not really worth it, unfortunately.
Which is a shame, because I like Miles Davis. I do like Don Cheadle in movies.
Yeah, and he was great, but just not in a great movie.
Yeah, unfortunate, because I'd heard they'd made a Miles pick, and then it just kind of fell off the radar, and I'm like, okay, so that must not have been a good Miles pick.
No, it was not, unfortunately. Oh, well, no big deal.
So, well, let's move on out of our 10 movies in more than 5 or so minutes, and move into our feature this week. Now, many of you who don't live under a rock and don't receive your facts from the Christian Science Monitor reading room will know that there is actually a new Ghostbusters movie coming out. It's a new Ghostbusters movie that not only has rebooted the franchise, it's not a sequel in any way, so you're not going to see Bill Murray, the ghost of Harold Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, or Ernie Hudson. It's a new cast with 4 females in the lead as the Ghostbusters. So it's a reboot not only in image, but in tone and story. So, I mean, while it looks like from the trailer you can see it pays homage to the original, it's definitely a new movie. Now, what's been coming in from this, and this is what we're going to talk about, is an extreme backlash of hate for this movie. And not just like the usual, like, Ben Affleck was cast as Batman, what a terrible thing to do, but just hate for this movie. And I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, and I think to fully explore where it's coming from, Eric and I are going to go back a little ways and just reminisce about the first, you know, the first 2 Ghostbusters movies, and then kind of segue into where this is, why this is happening.
That was your Wayback Machine music. So
that was awesome, man. And so I was fortunate enough, I got to go see Ghostbusters on the big screen last Wednesday.
Okay.
And it, you know, just seeing it again, and there weren't a whole lot of people in the theater, but everybody in the theater were all, you know, giggling at what's coming. We're saying the lines with the movie. We're having a great time. The movie's a great time. And I think there's so many reasons why the movie is so good.
Right. Well, first off, the cast. The cast is great.
Dynamite. I mean, every single person is perfect.
Yeah, Bill Murray in his prime. Dan Aykroyd before he gained the weight and looked like he ate Dan Aykroyd. Harold Ramis while he was still alive, which he will be missed. Like, yes. Harold Ramis was fantastic. And Ernie Hudson as the latecomer to the Ghostbuster party, but really, like, all of them, all four of them played off each other very well. They each had their distinct personalities. Then you felt like you could actually know these four characters.
Yes. And I, you know, even the supporting cast, you know, Sigourney Weaver as the not so typical damsel in distress, Rick Moranis. Oh my God, Rick Moranis. Annie Potts as the secretary. And then William Atherton as Walter Peck.
Yes, William Atherton playing one of his many 80s dick roles.
Yeah, just, he was so good in all of those roles. You
yeah,
know?
Whether it was Ghostbusters or Die Hard, he had that character. You just wanted to punch that guy.
Yep, and most people did.
Yep.
So the other cool thing about Ghostbusters is, like, watching it again, you can tell there was not a whole lot written down for these guys. Like, Bill Murray, I think he kind of just ran the movie himself. He was obviously there was a script, but like there was a lot of improv going on, you know, and that was so ahead of its time.
I think that's because Harold Ramis knew that Bill Murray could be trusted to do that.
Because Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd wrote it. So yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think they definitely put a lot of trust in their cast and stuff like that. And I've read that a lot of it was improv. I actually read that Harold Ramis didn't want to be in it, but he's like, oh, I'll be perfect for Egon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, naturally.
Right.
There's so much good. And, you know, the story itself is a total high-concept comedy. This movie almost invented the high-concept comedy.
Right.
You know? And that's all there is nowadays. You got, like, Horrible Bosses, Neighbors. All those movies are, like, high-concept comedies. Not this... This was like the first real one.
Right. And,
you know, with the big budget. And, yeah.
What made it also good is, honestly, the effects that they used were, especially for when it came out, were great. I mean, it was mostly practical, overlaid digital effects. I mean, not digital, but practical.
Matte paintings.
Yeah. And it looks good. Like, it still holds up. Like, you don't. It's not like going back and seeing, like if you go back and watch Temple of Doom and you can see all the green screen around them. But, like, this one, like I said, the effects hold up for the movie. The cast is, and honestly, it is a really great movie.
Once again, it's timeless. Although, yes, you have the 80s fashion that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very careful to avoid a lot of the 80s tropes. Mm-hmm. Like the original score by Elmer Bernstein. Fantastic, but unfortunately you have those other 80s tunes that permeate the movie that kind of date it.
Right.
But it does not, if you took out that music, you wouldn't think it was an 80s movie.
If you go up to anybody and just say, who are you going to call? And if they don't say Ghostbusters, they're not your friend.
You got that right, man. You got that. Yeah, it's just, and honestly, watching it again, I'm like, this movie cements itself in my top 10 of all time.
Right.
Without a doubt.
So then we move on, and they did a sequel, of course, because the first one was such a colossal, huge effect. How could they – I mean, a hit. How could they not do a sequel? And they did Ghostbusters 2. And Ghostbusters 2 is not terrible.
No,
Ghostbusters
2 terrible.
Is definitely over – is definitely in the shadow of Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah, and it felt the whole time – it just felt like it was trying so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was trying so hard to be as good – as the original Ghostbusters, and it just didn't have a chance.
And what they did in Ghostbusters 2 is they changed the look of, like, whereas in the first Ghostbuster, when they had the ghosts were pretty legit kind of scary-looking ghosts. Like, I mean, from the librarian to, like, the taxi driver.
Yeah.
But by the time they got to the second one, they were making the ghosts with kind of bigger, goofier faces, and you know, they like the two brothers in the electric chair in that courtroom scene. I mean, you could see that they were trying to kind of flesh it out a little bit more, but it kind of added a silliness to it.
And, you know, the other thing I kind of realized about Ghostbusters 2, like in the first Ghostbusters, you know that like who the villain was, and you know what the whole overarching goal of the villain was, but we didn't see Gozer until, like, the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Right.
This whole movie was Vigo, 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 Vigo.
Yeah, Vigo, you know, the painting.
And technically, yeah, we didn't see Vigo until the last 15 minutes of this, but, like, it just didn't have the same effect, because we saw him in the painting, you know, him and his forehead. And, it's supposed to be a comedy, but it also does have that darker quality to it.
But they cartooned up Annie Potts with big round glasses and dumb hair, and they cartooned up Rick Moranis a little bit, and it's just sort of like it was unnecessary. Like you didn't need to soften or change their looks; they were fine.
And it still had some great moments.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong; like there's some great stuff in Ghostbusters too. I like them in the sewer with the train.
Mm-hmm.
When it was just Egon and Winston and
Stance.
Yeah, I love that whole sequence. I thought that was great. We just shut up about the rats. You know, like, that was fun. I like the concept of the slime. I think it kind of got overshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
Yeah, whereas, like, let's just say Ghostbusters 1 was probably a solid 5 stars, easily.
Oh, yeah.
Ghostbusters 2 would probably come in about 3.5.
Yeah, I give it a 3.5, just because, you know, Bill Murray's still being Bill Murray.
Yeah, so like I said, it's still not a terrible movie, but, you know, it definitely was a sequel.
Yeah, all right, so now we get to it. Like, Eric gave you all the stats about, you know, all the vitals about the reboot.
Right. Now, for a while, they were teasing that they were going to do a sequel to the Ghostbusters with the original Ghostbusters, but they were kept having difficulties with the script or with character, like the actors not wanting to work together again or whatever
Bill
it was.
Murray, really.
Yeah, Bill. the actor not wanting.
Yeah, let's be honest here, you know.
So that was teased for a while that they were going to do another Ghostbusters movie. And in fact, even in some interviews, even they mentioned that they were going to do it. Just because they say they're going to do an interview doesn't mean it actually is going to happen. So this is what actually happened. So they decided to reshoot instead of bringing back the old cast or what was left of them and kind of doing a Ghostbusters 3 per se, they decided to reboot the franchise. Mm-hmm. And the director at the helm, and I'm forgetting the name, Paul Feig.
Paul Feig.
Is very talented. Director.
Yeah.
He has done very funny movies. He did Bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. He did The Heat.
Yeah.
He did Spy. All three
of those I think are great movies.
They are. They are very funny.
Very funny.
And what they have, they also have Melissa McCarthy. They all have Melissa McCarthy in them. He knows how to direct her. Melissa McCarthy not in a Paul Feig movie is terrible. I don't think there is really a good Melissa McCarthy movie that's not directed by him.
I thought The Boss was tolerable.
I didn't see The Boss, so.
Okay, it was tolerable.
Okay, all right, I'll remember that. Yeah, tolerable.
Yeah, no, but like, yeah, they have this great, really talented female cast. You got Melissa McCarthy, who's like the top A-list female star right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Wiig,
mm-hmm.
who those two were great together in Bridesmaids. Kate McKinnon, who's one of the standouts of Saturday Night Live. And the unbelievably funny Leslie Jones.
Right.
Who always slays on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got this great cast. You got a great director.
You also have Chris Hemsworth as the...
Oh, I forgot about Chris Hemsworth! Oh my God.
Yeah, he is the hot secretary.
It's a fun little twist.
Right. Yeah, so I watched the preview. It's one of those things where it's just like, you don't know what to expect in the preview because the first, like, they've teased the outfits at this point, so you've seen everybody in the Ghostbusters outfits. They've teased Ecto-1, so you still saw the car. And now when you actually see it moving, like, the movie, like, the trailer gave me some legitimate chuckles. I laughed. And then when I saw it, I'm like, you know what? I want to see the new Ghostbusters movie. I'm there for it. And then to see the backlash was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where it comes from. Like, we have a bunch of sexist morons.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be, because like I said, I mean, even, all right, to go off on a slight tangent, so they've also announced the next set of LEGO Dimensions sets for next year. And they're doing a set for the new Ghostbusters movie, so you can play as the female Ghostbusters in LEGO Dimensions, and as well as many others like Harry Potter, and they have like a whole bunch that they announced, and like reading the comments for it's just like, oh, looks like great sets except for the women trying to play Ghostbusters, and I'm like, really?
What?
Yeah,
I don't. Oh my God. So just to go off a little bit, we've had two previews so far for Ghostbusters, and after I saw the screening of the original. They had like a 10-minute sneak peek for the new one.
Okay.
And it is very clear that they just, you know, they're trying to do as much as they can to, not, you know, give fan service, but at the same time make their own new thing.
Right.
And it really looks like they're keeping it very faithful to the original vision.
Right. Well, you know? From what I've seen, like they pay the fan service. You see Slimer. I think in the second trailer they actually show Marshmallow Man.
Well, it's not Marshmallow Man, but there's a big guy that destroys the city.
Okay.
There's more to it from what I've heard. I don't know the full details.
I mean, you have essentially...
thing comparable to Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, a thing comparable to Marshmallow Man.
Uh-huh.
But, okay. I mean, the tech that they're using looks fun. Like, yes. They've added some new ghost-capturing equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the traps, the different proton packs... that are more suited to each character. Like I said, it looks fun.
It does. It looks like it's going to be fun, and I think that's what they're going for. I don't think they're going to reinvent the wheel here, you know?
Right.
So, and then, I don't know if you saw last week, they united both casts on Jimmy Kimmel.
No, I didn't see that.
It was really cool. So they had the girls on first, and then they brought Annie Potts, Ernie Hudson, Bill Murray, and Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
And they all came together, and... they actually showed a cut, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Annie Potts, and Ernie Hudson saw the new Ghostbusters movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Bill Murray's like, he was being honest. He's like, you know, we only agreed to do the movie because these girls are funny.
Right.
And he's like, we watched the cut of it yesterday in the beginning. You're like, trudging along. He's like, I don't know if this is going to work. And he's like, it works. He's like, they make it work.
Yeah. Because...
you know, and... yeah,
the strength of a Ghostbusters movie is not so much in the fact that they're busting ghosts, which is important because that's the plot that drives it along. But the fact is that you have to have four actors or actresses who can work well together in a team.
Right.
Like you have to be able to do an ensemble movie, not like a Happy Madison ensemble movie, but an actually
you mean like an actual movie,
like a movie where you actually have to try.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
And the four females who they've cast in this movie are great. Like like I said, love Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig work very well together.
Yeah.
You know, Kristen Wiig not so much in Zoolander 2. That was just an odd movie, but still.
okay. Didn't get there yet.
Yeah, no. But yeah, like I said, I mean. You know, I can understand people are just like, well, they shouldn't remake movies and blah, blah, blah. Hollywood
then
ran
fine.
Out of ideas.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, I get that. And you're going to say that about every time they remake a movie. Okay, but anybody who's actually claiming it's just, like, anybody who's hating on it just because it's females in the Ghostbusters role, get over yourselves.
Yeah, and there's a dude on YouTube who has a 6.5-minute video explaining why he's boycotting the new Ghostbusters movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch it because I don't want to give him any more fame than he needs, because there's no reason. These people are hating a movie before it even comes out. No non-celebrity has seen this movie yet.
Right.
You have no grounds to judge it.
Exactly. Like, for the same people who were hating on Ben Affleck for being the new Batman, and then when it came out, he was probably one of the only good things about Batman versus Superman.
He was one of probably the only good thing about Batman versus Superman.
But still, it's one of those things where there's a big backlash, and you know what? It doesn't matter. Hollywood is definitely becoming a much better place for multi-gender movies, and like having. You know, the new Star... like, there wasn't this much of a backlash when the new Star Wars main character was a female.
Right. Or how about the next Star Wars movie where the main character is a female?
Right. And I can honestly tell you that raising a girl and having these... like, having girls want to, like, take Star Wars stuff in or wear, like, Captain America or, you know, or, like... comic booky stuff because there are strong female characters for them to base off of instead of just being a male dominated world like it was. It makes me feel good, and that's a soapbox for another time. But like I said, I'm excited for Ghostbusters. I'm going to go see it when it comes out, and I'm going to enjoy it. And if you want to boycott it, good. That's more seats for me. I don't have to worry about selling out to you.
Exactly. And if you want to boycott it, that's fine. But don't hate on this movie that you have no idea how it's going to turn out.
Right.
Like, it's just going to make you look like a really big dumbass in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you, Eric. I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to laugh my butt off.
Yep.
Because I know this guy's track record, and I have faith that he is going to continue his good track record.
Like I said, I'm excited for it. My family's excited. My kids are really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and
mine too.
I'm just happy that it's finally a Paul Feig, Melissa McCarthy movie I can take my kids to.
Well, we hope. Obviously, it's going to be a PG or PG-13. It has to be.
Yeah, there's no way they can do a rated R Ghostbusters.
And no, they can't.
They might as well just if they do that, they might as well just exit right off. That will kill it. But I'm guessing, like I said, based on the trailer, I'm probably going to go PG-13. It'll fall.
That's the safe bet, you know. Yep. They can push the envelope, but they don't have to push it too far.
Right. Exactly.
So, stop hating on Ghostbusters. There's no reason.
Exactly. Bam. Price Street Film Club said so. So
before we drop the mic. Oh, wait. No, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Crap.
Before we move on to the next section, this is where we're going to read the comments from our last episode. And here they are.
All right.
Okay.
So,
but if you want to leave us a comment on this episode, feel free to at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/PriceStreetFilm. And I don't do this as well as you do. I'm going to let you do this.
Probably the best place to get us besides Facebook. I mean, Facebook is obviously the best place to get us. But we have our Twitter account, Price Street Film on Twitter. Leave us a comment because this is a hot issue. And there are a lot of people that are very, very vocal about this. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about the new Ghostbusters?
Right. Do you want to see it? If you don't want to see it, or you don't, if you're against it, what are your reasons for being against it? We'd like to know.
Yeah.
So, other than that, hit us up with a comment. We'd love to hear from you, and we will read it on the air like we did this time, and you will be famous.
That's right.
69 other people who have liked our page.
69, dude. Couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
So. Now we're going to move into the trailer park. So let's see. Polish up your pink flamingos. Get your tornado insurance. And we are going to now talk about two different trailers that we both are going to bring up too, that we have seen. Totally judging a book by its cover. And since I started 10 movies in 5 minutes, I'm going to let you start the trailer park.
All right. Thanks. And I kind of use this to my advantage because I got a feeling you and I might have picked the same trailer. But I want to talk about Star Wars Rogue One.
I did not pick Star Wars Rogue One.
No kidding.
I got two other ones.
All right, great. Well, so they released the first Star Wars Rogue One trailer, and I will say I am very pleasantly surprised. I like the look. It's got a very kind of old school Star Wars look to it, but they got some really neat shots in there. My favorite would actually be them on like this greenish planet running away from the AT-ATs.
Oh, AT-ATs.
Shot at.
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, and the whole, you see the dish getting put on the Death Star. You see the old school Star Destroyer. I'm like, dude, all right.
Yeah.
Let's go with this, man. Let's go with this. And I think the story is very cool.
And I really want to see how that Death Star thing works out for them.
Yeah, I mean, they put so much work into it. I'm pretty sure it sticks around for a while. But, you know, a really cool story behind it. You know, who are the rebels that got the Death Star plans in the first place? I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. From what I thought it was going to be to what it actually is, like, it definitely is a you know, you could just call it a stopgap movie between the numbered Star Wars movies. But, I mean, this looks like they actually put effort and time into it, and I think Disney wants to show you that they're not going to exploit the franchise terribly in a bad way. They're still going to exploit it horribly because they're Disney, but you know, it really looks good. You're right. When I saw AT-ATs in the trailer, I'm like, AT-ATs!
Yeah, I think they're really going to try to establish the new Star Wars universe and make it comparable to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I don't think they're going to leave a lot of room for error.
They probably paid a pretty penny for the Star Wars franchise, so they're not going to want
it. It was like something like, what, like $6 billion or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, so they're
ridiculous.
They're not going to want to whiff it.
Right.
But, yeah, like I said, it looks like a great movie.
It does.
I'm excited.
Yeah, man. Cool.
My number one is actually Doctor Strange.
Oh, right. Duh, Doctor Strange, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Like I said, I saw this trailer, and, you know, I like Benedict Cumberbatch. The Sherlock show on BBC, if you haven't watched it, is awesome.
Yeah, it's very good. But he's a great actor.
Yeah, he really is. He's definitely very good in everything that he does. And
yes,
like I said, this movie looks good. I mean, it's a great introduction to the character. The effects that they showed in the trailer look very Inception.
Yes, they do.
And yeah, they had that shot at the end where he's walking out in the full garb, and I'm good with Doctor Strange. It's one of the comics that I never really read that was kind of on the fringe, but I'm kind of pumped for this one.
Yeah, me too. I've watched this trailer a few times, and I'm getting more each time. Like with they're playing parallels in the beginning,
mm-hmm,
like his past life to his current life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are they pulling on different paths? I'm not sure what they're doing. I talked to a friend of mine who's a huge Doctor Strange fan,
mm-hmm,
and I said, "What do you think of the trailer?" And he's like, as far as I can tell, just from the trailer, he's like, they're nailing every bit of it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, all right, that's great. That's good to know.
Because that's the nice thing about having a united Marvel universe is you have essentially the whole playbook to draw from, and right, you know, you can mix and match. And if there's characters that are integral to the start of the story, you can actually pull them in easily without having to substitute them for somebody else. And like I said, so I'm excited to see what they do with this.
I am too. And you know, it's our first foray into the supernatural part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we'll see if it avoids those tropes that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Of, you know, the introductory character movie.
Right. Like so, I said, there's definitely a cookie cutter formula they have, so we'll see if they avoid it. But
yeah,
I'm definitely going to see it. So
yeah, me too, man. Me too. So my second trailer, this is kind of out of the blue. They're doing a remake of The Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
Now, The Magnificent Seven is it's a fantastic movie. It's a classic.
Right.
You know, you got Steve McQueen, you got Yul Brynner,
mm-hmm,
you got Charles Bronson. Like, it is an awesome movie. So they're going to remake it. The guy that did Training Day, Anton Fuqua,
mm-hmm,
he is directing, stars Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Peter Sarsgaard. I was like, oh,
okay.
It's got a dynamite cast. In the trailer, it's pretty much just like the original.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out, because like I said, when a Western is done right, I do love Westerns. And when they are done right, I am all over it.
Yeah, you know what? And the cool thing is, like, there's the modern Western feel. The old Westerns, like the Sergio Leone Westerns, they have their own feel to them. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely a slow burn. Mm-hmm. You take that and you compare it to, like, one of my favorite modern Westerns, Tombstone.
Yeah.
And this looks definitely in the vein of Tombstone.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Uh-huh. Oh. But, I mean, Denzel, I could honestly watch a movie called Taking a Crap, starring Denzel Washington, and it would probably be more interesting than anything Adam Sandler's done in the past 10 years.
Well, Adam Sandler just put out a cowboy movie,
Ridiculous Six. Yeah, right. Anyway, let's keep going. Chris Pratt is now, like, you know, totally high in demand in Hollywood.
I know.
You got Ethan Hawke, who's always solid. No, even if he's doing junk, he's always solid. Vincent D'Onofrio has the weirdest choice in movies, but he seems to be doing well. It's a good cast.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see it. And like I said, it looks like it's in the vein of Tombstone. I'm on board.
I just looked it up. And he even has Vinnie Jones in it.
Vinnie Jones is in it? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, okay. There you go.
I'm the juggernaut.
Sphinx.
Ah, oh, yes. Gone in 60 seconds.
Go on. You like Gone. You can't tell me you don't like that movie.
I love that movie. Yeah. Great guilty pleasure, man.
Yep.
Great guilty pleasure.
So speaking of guilty pleasures, I'm sure this movie that I'm going to talk about is the trailer, and you should watch the Red Band version of this, the Red Band version for Sausage Party.
I've seen it, like, numerous times.
Yes, and it's one of those things where somebody had sent me the trailer, and, like, I didn't realize what it was.
Right.
When I first started watching it, I'm just like, okay, this... I'm like sitting there going like, well, those buns look awfully, like, okay. I guess this is a bizarre kids movie, and then they pull the potato up, and then it reveals itself for what it is, and I'm like, oh my God, this movie looks hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that it took a lot of years to get this thing off the ground.
Mm.
And... Man, it looks funny.
So just for those who haven't seen the trailer, and I recommend you do, the Red Band version.
Red Band, yes. Yes.
It is pretty much the cast of This Is the End, like Seth Rogen, James Franco, like all the people you normally see in those movies together. And they made an animated movie about how food is happy that you're picking it off, and then they find out food actually finds out that you're eating it. It looks hysterical. Like, it looks raunchy.
Yeah, you gotta watch the trailer to really experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the lines they throw out when they eat the baby carrots, when the potato's getting peeled with the thick Irish brogue. Oh, I mean, like, it's...
I've been chosen. Yeah. Oh, Danny boy.
It's you gotta check it out, because it definitely looks like the don't take your kids to see this kids movie kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It
looks funny.
It does. Highly recommend. Can't recommend it yet, but looks very funny.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
does. But anyway, that brings us to the end of our show.
Yeah.
Parting is such sweet sorrow. But if you'd like to get in contact with us, if you'd like to leave us your opinion on the new Ghostbusters, or if you have any reaction to anything we've said on this show, positive or negative, mostly positive, let us know how good we are and awesome, and how you want to give us money for doing this podcast so we can quit our day jobs.
That'd be awesome. You should do that.
Yeah, you should totally do that. It's worth
give
it.
Give us some money.
Feel free to do so, and I will let Mr. Tucker, sir, throw out where you can find us in the interwebs.
Sweet. So the best place to get us is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Price3FilmClub, or just, when you're on Facebook, just put in Price3FilmClub, because most of you kids are on the apps nowadays. You can just type it in the app and you can find us there. Make us your favorite.
That's right. Give us a thumbs up.
Give us a thumbs up.
You can react to the post now. Put the little laughing face on them if you want.
Give us a poke. Give us a poke. You still do the pokes. You should do the poke.
All the kids, they're doing the pokes
these days. All the kids are doing the pokes these days. And I know you kids are also doing the twits. So, I can't even keep it up. So, yeah, also you can find us on Twitter, Price Street Film on Twitter. So, hit us up, guys. It would be wonderful to hear from you. And I would be remiss if I did not throw out a shameless plug to another fine podcast in the Price Street arena. A friend of mine, Derek Kosovic, and I, we just did our first pilot episode of a podcast called Film Flops, which is what it sounds like. It's all about bad movies.
Yeah, I did give this a listen, and, even though he leaves the best part of the Price Street Film Club out of his new podcast, I will say that it is a very funny podcast. The first episode, they talk about a movie that is about an animated tire. Well, not an animated tire.
Not animated. It's a real tire, man.
A tire that is alive. Is the movie called Rubber? Is that what it is?
It's called Rubber, yeah. It's a tire that's alive and can actually kill people because it also has telekinesis.
Which, as you do. So, the episode was very good, and I definitely would give it a recommend if you like funny film podcasts.
Yeah, guys, it's very much in the vein of this podcast, and I would appreciate it. Yeah. Film Flops, you can find us anywhere. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're everywhere, just like the Price Street Film Club. So give us a listen.
Yep.
Thanks. Yay.
Woo. So,
but first you should go back and listen to every single podcast in the Price Street Film Club catalog, though.
That's right. If you can find them, if you can find the first episode, well, God help you.
I can find it.
or the episode of us interviewing people outside Alice in Wonderland. Hey, the sequel came out. Did you want to see it? No. Okay. All right.
That was still kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. There's a lot of good stuff in our back catalog. I highly recommend you give it a listen.
You should. You should, folks.
So, but now, as we reach the end, I will say it has been fun. Stop hating. Holla back, girl. And leave us a comment. But for now, I'm signing off. This is Eric Clausen.
And this is Adam Tucker. Thanks, guys.
And keep on watching.